Yo.
Yo, 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 yo.
What up? You're not sitting in front of the wind tunnel today, are you?
Of course.
In front of the wind tunnel. Oh, okay.
Of course.
Okay. What up, Red? What up, Red? What's going on?
I'm chilling, man.
Oh, true. What's up, Lady T? Lady T and a half.
What's up, everybody? What's up?
Chicken sandwiches all around. Chicken sandwiches and pumps all around.
Oh my God.
What's going on, everybody?
Early.
Yeah, right?
Right.
Trying to lie myself up. What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of The Menu on Blog Talk Radio. We got Big Red in the house, Lady T, and Brother B. Oh, you notice all this? Okay. Big Red, T, B, like, you know what I'm saying? It's kind of like a rhyme. What up, everybody? Hope all is well. Guest calling numbers 347-324-3395. And, yeah, how y'all doing? How you doing, Red T? What's going on?
What's up,
I'm
Red
good.
T? What's going on? You good?
About to be 21 in a couple of hours.
Oh, God.
Somebody's birthday.
Happy birthday. Well, if you're going to be 21, I'm going to be 18 in January, too. You're going to be 21, I'll be 18.
Oh, man.
Well, shit, if y'all pushing the clock like that, shit, I might as well go back to, like, 10.
Right,
10 years old, I could do a whole lot of things differently.
Right, I'm trying to.
Yeah,
and what are your
nice.
Plans?
Mm-hmm.
And what are your plans for the day?
Oh gosh, a lot, a lot.
Oh, okay.
I just finished cooking, so it's like I got some plans.
Wait, you
got
cooking?
Some things going. Yeah, I just finished cooking
cook?
My birthday dinner, so I don't have to do that. Yeah.
Why you cook? Wait, you ain't supposed to be cooking your birthday dinner.
Why not?
Because
I always do that.
Okay, but you know, did you get some help?
Why I need help? I'm a good cook.
I didn't say you wasn't a good cook. I just said, like, you know. Like,
right,
me,
I'll get some
help tomorrow night eating it.
Okay. Wow. Well, yeah, people always come around then. After it's done, yeah. Hope
Brother B was saying that you needed to have someone cook the birthday dinner for you, and you
yeah.
know,
my family's also no. My family's also going to do that tomorrow, but I always do one for myself because I like make jerk salmon, bake mac and cheese, and some crab cakes and stuff like that. I like doing that for myself.
Good. We might be in the wrong. We need to be in the right spot tomorrow.
Right, exactly.
Jerk salmon.
Get y'all a nice plate.
Man,
that's right.
I might get the itis to put a sleeping
bag next
to the front
like,
door.
I look at it like you take care of yourself first. I know all the gifts and stuff is going to come tomorrow, and I'm very thankful, you know, for, like, my family and my close friends and stuff like that. But I always look at it as, like, take care of yourself first, you know?
Okay.
No, I feel you.
Yeah.
I feel you. Well, hold on, y'all.
I'm your cousin-in-law tomorrow. I'm coming because I'm your cousin-in-law.
your
Blog Talk cousin-in-law.
Well, hold on, y'all. We got the original snitch on the line. Oh, I'm sorry. How you doing, Miss Cherry? What's going on?
Oh, that was so foul, Brother B. Oh, not Miss Cherry.
What was
my
topic? It was her topic. So you know, I had to put it out there. How you doing, Miss Cherry?
Good. Sorry for running late.
I'm so good. You ain't late. Better late than never.
Right.
So,
all right.
Once again, is the menu. Blog Talk Radio. Got the cast. You got some co-stars, cast, the crews in the house. It's Lady T. It's Big Red. It's Miss Cherry and it's Brother B. So tonight's topic: snitching. Do we do it enough? or do it too little?
I just felt like I heard snitches get stitches, but we ain't going to
you know
go
what?
Go ahead.
Well, you know so, what? Back in the days, it was something. Back in the days, there was codes. It was more of a code to the street and codes of doing things. And snitching was more of a thing where it was more of a loyalty thing. Like, you don't snitch on the person you're doing dirt with.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Because it's like, well, what kind of crap is that? So to me, it was different. But now, I mean, I don't think it really had anything to do with you seeing somebody beat up on some old lady or do something to some young kid. You know what I'm saying? It's hood politics. It's neighborhood politics. There's certain things you just didn't do. And no matter if it was white, black, you know, Italian neighborhood, you know, whatever, it was just a code then. Now it just seemed like, you know, everybody's just kind of like telling on people for the wrong thing. Like it's a worthless type of snitching. Like, oh my God, like these Karens. Oh my God, I saw this person doing this. Oh my God, I saw this person doing that. And it's like,
right.
That's irrelevant, you know what I'm saying, compared to real stuff that's going on. And then when it comes down to the hood, I mean, you got people that are not stepping up, saying the right thing, and it's like detrimental to their community. Has nothing to do with loyalty anymore. Like, people just seem like they're more loyal to a street instead of loyal
to the street.
People. Yeah, you know, and
yep,
the street,
absolutely.
The street has no loyalty to you whatsoever.
Exactly.
The streets never did. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, I gotta, you know, of course ask Miss Cherry, you know, where she was coming from with it. But I mean, that's just in, you know, my perception for now. But yeah, Miss Cherry, what's your view on it? Or your take on it?
I was gonna say I agree with you. I think in the past, snitching was about you being part of an activity, and then in order to get yourself off, you turn in the others. But what we're seeing now is we're seeing crimes in our community where people are not saying anything about it. And if you see things going on and you're not willing to step up, you have a couple of things going on. The people that are doing it, they either feel like you agree with it because you're not giving them up, means you're kind of passively saying it's okay, or you have people that are – we're teaching our kids to be afraid instead of stepping up and saying, no, that's wrong. You know, if it's not involving you, turn your head. But then once it involves you, we want you to step in. So I think it breaks down a community. We're not looking out for each other the way we used to. I remember I made reference to the one-year-old that was at the park that got shot, and they have clear footage on the news. Those people in the neighborhood know who that person is, so why are they protecting him? So he can walk
right.
around and shoot somebody else?
Absolutely, absolutely.
Exactly, yeah.
It's a sad situation.
Take that snitch money and go on vacation. You deserve it. You solved the crime. White neighborhoods don't have that. They don't have a problem with going right over there and saying, oh, he stole the pot off of my porch. I'm going to go turn him in. We can see somebody stab, rape somebody, and we, oh, well, if I tell on him, he's going to come back for me. No, he's going to come back for you anyway. You and your loved ones.
Right.
Yeah.
It's just a sad, you know, it's sad. And then my thing is, you know, you have, just like you said, I'll say this, and I'll even use the reference of when I was watching the documentary that they had on a couple of weeks ago that Spike Lee did about Yusuf Hawkins. Now, those people in that neighborhood that he was in, not his neighborhood, but the neighborhood of Benson, I think it was Bensonhurst, right?
Yeah.
Or Bay Ridge or whatever. Those people knew who had killed him, but they wasn't going to say nothing because of their connections with the mob, because, you know, that was a predominantly Italian neighborhood, you know. So they weren't going to say nothing, and they knew who it was. So that's what I'm saying. It's all, you know, it's unfortunately, it's not just, I wouldn't just say it's hood, but it, you know, not hood, but black, a black neighbor, black thing, but it's also with
ethnicity, like with the Italians. They're not, you know, they're not going to, you know, not just them, but certain ethnicities are not going to say nothing against their own people. And especially
well,
if they know
not.
They
that's
did something as
life.
Well. Right. But, the, you know, but like you said, it's just, once again, it's a human thing. You know that they killed this young man, whether, and like I said, because he was black, it's just like, oh, we're not going to say nothing, oh, he's with us, or that's one of our people. Nah, just be human. Just think about a human life. Just think, it, once again, because if it was one of theirs that that had happened to, they would have went in an uproar about it.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know,
and
it's
they want somebody
and
to step up.
Right, exactly. And they went for blood for that. So that's what I'm saying. Why don't you, you know, what you thought, that we weren't going to do the same thing? Yes, we were going to do the same thing because guess what? That young man got killed for nothing, for no apparent reason at all. But, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Just like you said, like, it's sad that it's to that point where, just like you said, because you know that person did something, you're not going to say nothing because you feel either intimidated. Or you just want some, oh, well, I'm not going to say anything. It ain't nothing to do with me. But if it was your family member or friend or something like that, you're going to want somebody to find, you know, to solve that crime, whether it's a, whether it's them getting killed or raped or anything like that. Just, I'm a, and another, like, with, also, well, this has nothing to do with, you know, someone getting killed. But guess what? We'll put that scenario with Meg Thee Stallion and Tory Lanez. She
uh-huh.
didn't say nothing about, everybody's calling her a snitch. And you know what's sad about it? A lot of men are saying that she's a snitch.
Are
you kidding me?
She's going to be a snitch.
Absolutely. Exactly. Like, are you kidding me? But see, that's how. But this is how ignorant. But this is how ignorant. And I'm sad to say how, you know, black people think sometimes. How you calling this girl a snitch? And she and the boy shot her in the foot. So what you expect? She was just going to get shot in the foot. She just say, "Oh yeah, okay, no problem." No,
which is a form of domestic violence. Let's not forget that, which is a form of domestic violence.
Absolutely. And the thing is, he was talking about her so crazy. And she kept, you know, she still was protecting him and kept quiet about it. And she said, "You know what? Enough is enough. I'm not going to keep protecting him, and you sitting up here talking about me like a dog. Absolutely not."
But I mean, real quick. Mm-hmm. All right, let's put this line in the sand here. All right, those people, whether it be male or female, but especially to the males, that was talking that junk about she a snitch. Those are those new dudes.
Mm-hmm.
Those ain't like real men. Those are those new dudes that like to play video games and sit on your couch and say, "Baby, you know, bring me a snack box when you come home." Like that, nah. I'm not accepting those as being real men. And if they are, if they claim they are, they cowards. Because no real man in their right mind is going to sit there and say, "Call her a snitch," and she's the one that got shot in the foot. If anything, me personally, like if that was my sister or my homie or something, like homeboy would have got stomped out. I don't care who you are. That's number one. Number two, I'm surprised he's not hanging from a flagpole somewhere. You know what I'm saying? Because as far as I see it, you know, she gets all the stripes because she didn't. Like, she was pushed. Like, she was eating it. She wasn't saying nothing.
Exactly.
Like, she's a G. You can't yep. even front on her. She got yep. more balls than him.
She's
still
yeah, that's
why, more
that's
balls.
Why he right there on the spot.
But that's what that snitching falls under, ego with it.
Yeah.
It's the ego behind
this,
that.
But this is also what happens when you got a generation of fuckboys coming up. Nothing but fuckboys doing stuff like this. You know what I'm saying? Like, listen, we all come from a different era. And, you know, all right, everybody has their role in playing, like, you know, dudes do what they do, women do what they do. But back in the day, dudes were a little more solid compared to what they are now. Like, these cats is like, you know, some that dollar store,
different.
You know, tape. They dollar store.
Yeah, it's different.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, they real different. You know what I'm saying? They pants
are
tighter than their girls. You know what I'm saying? I don't understand. But if you're sitting there, how you gonna call her a snitch? How you going to say anything bad about her? And she held it down. She ate it. She didn't even say anything. But I saw an interview that she did. And she was like, yo, this is why,
she was online,
you know,
yeah.
Yo, and I got to commend her. Like, I really
wasn't
into Megan Thee Stallion before, but, yo, to me, she a G. She gets props from me because, you know, she said, yo, like, we as black people, you know, I didn't want that drama going on. You know, the cops was there, all this and that and everything. I was like, wow.
Yeah.
Because he should have stayed silent. Also, the case would have went away had both of them not cooperated. You get what I'm saying? He should have shut his mouth. That's what the G's back in the day would have did. Shut your mouth,
right?
Go
and
away.
What was he saying? But what was he? But all right, my thing is because I never liked his music. I don't like that dude anymore. So I don't know the kid.
It's a short man
anyway?
Complex, first of all.
that was
first and foremost.
Oh, okay. But what was he saying?
I don't know exactly.
Other than him speaking on it?
I guess he spoke on it, and I guess it's, I think from what I was getting from what Meg Thee Stallion said, she was saying that, you know, he had his publicist just taking the whole thing out of context and saying things that weren't true. And she was like, I'm sick of it. I'm not going to keep having you bad mouth me and try to, you know, say I'm a snitch and all this. Like, how am I snitching? You the one that shot me? Are you kidding me? Yeah, I'm going to say that you shot me. But first of all, that's the injury. First of all, that could have ended her life, period, depending on how that bullet hit her.
It's not like he hit her on the leg
with a little, you know, pin or something like that. Bro, you took out a gun and you tried to end this girl, you know, because you mad, end this girl life, whether you was drunk or not or whatever. You could have ended that girl's life. That bullet could have been went a whole different way.
And the thing is, before K Dog jumps on, what's up, K Dog? My thing is, how could he have a security person there? And him not say anything either. Like, you sat back and basically witnessed somebody shoot somebody else, and you kind of ate that?
That falls under the snitching thing. Like, oh, I'm not going to say nothing. I see it, but you see what I'm saying? It's how ignorant that is?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can't rock with that. What's up, K-Dog? What's going on?
Hey, what's going on, y'all? Yeah, I heard the show. I just started listening to the show and I was hearing what everybody had to say about this whole thing about snitching. And, you know, hearing all of this, and I see some good points. My take on this whole thing about snitching is that when you see something, I have a different perspective when it comes to snitching based on what I've seen so far. It's like people who commit crimes. Like, let's just say a group of people go ahead and commit crimes, and then after they get caught. And we've seen this with many mob movies that I've seen, as many books that I've read. The real snitchers are the ones who committed the crime, and then after they committed a crime with a group of people, and then one of them sings to the cops just to get off. And we've seen this happen time and time again, especially in a lot of crimes where they're like, well, yeah, I was there, but guess what? So-and-so was the one with the gun. Yeah, I had a gun, but so-and-so had the gun. This person had a gun. And, you know, we've seen this time and time again. Like, take, for example, with the whole thing with the Tekashi 6ix9ine incident. I mean, this dude is walking around with a target on his back, because everywhere he goes, the same dudes that he snitched on are the ones, you know, their boys are looking at him like, yeah, we see you. What's up? And he runs.
Yeah, but he's protected. He's protected. Trust me. If somebody touches him, whoever touches him, somebody's going to see it because he's protected.
Right.
He's being protected. He was doing a video shoot 2 weeks ago in Brooklyn.
Mm-hmm.
What did you say?
I said he was doing a video shoot. A video shoot. You can hear me?
He had a video shoot.
Yeah. 2 weeks ago, so he's definitely protected.
Trust me.
I want to add is this is that, you know, people say, oh, like out here they say, oh, you see a crime and you're calling the cops, you snitch. I'm like, calling the cops on a crime is not snitching. Get that face, not snitching. And like I said before, the real meaning of snitching is like when you commit a crime and you go ahead and you know you were part of it, but you're telling on everybody else. Reporting a crime is not snitching. It's just, you know, you're reporting a crime that's happened. You report a crime
right.
that somebody got robbed, somebody
well,
got
know,
murdered.
We talk about protecting our communities.
Exactly.
Snitching is part of protecting your community. If you want to, I'm going to say quote unquote snitching. You need to speak up in order to protect your community.
Right.
So all
right.
this snitching stuff, I think it comes with the egos and everything else with it.
Exactly. And
all right, well, check this out.
Lady said earlier about the one-year-old that got shot. They know who did it, but I'm like, it's not snitching. It's called doing the right thing because a one-year-old's
right.
life was taken away violently. And you mean to tell me you're not going to report that to the cops? You know who did it, but... Oh, I'm not telling nothing. This
and whoever
did
it will commit another crime and shoot somebody
exactly.
else and somebody else
yeah.
and somebody else.
Exactly.
There was one time years ago, I wanted to point out, I remember when America's Most Wanted was on television, and there were many times that I heard, oh, yo, I saw my man up on the show. I'm like, what show? On America's Most Wanted, man. I'm like, that's your, yeah, man, that's my man, man. Knowing that this dude killed somebody, but you know, I know where he is, man. But you know, we ain't gonna do him dirty like that. I'm like, he certainly did
yep.
somebody else dirty.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. That's
mm-hmm.
a fact. Yep.
Well,
absolutely.
I got a question for Miss Cherry, and then after that, Lady T, Red, and then K Dog. So this is kind of like. I guess it's borderline snitching, but to me it's more like trying to coerce. So I was looking at a story where, and we all familiar with the Breonna Taylor situation, you know, rest in peace to her once again. So apparently the police, someone had drafted up something where they wanted, apparently they were going to present to the boyfriend where they basically wanted him to say that she was part of some criminal enterprise and, you know, was, you know, dealing with drugs and all this and that. So basically it would have cut him loose and he would have walked away, you know, scot-free, which of course I don't understand because he didn't do anything. But of course,
right.
you know what I'm saying? He wasn't trying to do it, but then all of a sudden they're trying
to
say.
Probably in their mind, he did something because he witnessed it.
Weren't they looking
you.
For him?
You know what I mean?
I'm sorry, am I correct? Weren't they looking for him when they came to our place?
Yeah,
no,
that's what
I thought.
No,
it that was the wrong
house.
House.
Yeah.
Totally wrong house.
It was the wrong house.
Had
yep.
nothing
wrong
to
house.
Do with them, yeah.
And
wrong
the
house.
Person, and the person that they were looking for, they already had in custody.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
yep.
my God. Wow.
So she died totally for nothing.
Yep.
They ran
up,
they already had the, they already
had
the person. Huh?
And the murder
had wrong,
and those
wrong, wrong address.
Still
that's
around.
What they had. Wrong address.
Yeah, they had the
what
wrong
did they
address.
Have
wrong
that
intel.
They would think that he would want to sign something. That doesn't make any sense.
Well, that's the thing. It's fabrication because they meet. Listen, somebody has to pin something on somebody because they don't want their people to take the hit.
Right.
They
don't want them to
up.
Take the now.
They screwed
it.
Up.
Mm-hmm.
They screwed up big time. You not only there was a lapse in communication. Because when they went to do the no-knock warrant, the dude was already in custody. But they went into the house with the no-knock warrant.
Blazing.
And, and homeboy thought that somebody was breaking into the house. So he did what any, whether male or female, would do if somebody, you know, they heard somebody in the house. He had a licensed gun, and he fired. And it hit one of the cops. And then they started just shooting up the place. And she was in the bed, and she was killed in the bed because I think she was sleeping. But my
she was killed in
the fact that, you know, and some people, because it's sad, but some people would actually take some type of deal like that. But what do you think about, you know, the police try to coerce and pressure people to say things either that they don't mean to say. They don't need to say, oh, that's not true. But what do you think about that in terms of does that really fall under the lines of snitching, or would you call that on some coerced type shit.
Well, that's not fishing at all. The thing is, I'm assuming the plea was
Wait,
we can't really hear you.
Oh, sorry. Okay. The window's open.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say, that has nothing to do with snitching. They wanted him to take a plea, I'm assuming, so that they would drop the charges of him firing at a police officer, right? I'm assuming that's what this is about. And what they always have done, and that's why I believe the law just came in, accountability and disclosure with police officers, is whenever there is a problem, instead of them addressing the problem, they want to criminalize the victim first and foremost.
Right.
You know, they want to show you why this person may have gotten shot or deserve to be shot or deserve to be killed. That's the first thing you hear is like, well, you know, yeah, they did have they did choke Floyd out. However, 15 years ago, he put a gun to a pregnant lady's belly. Well, what does that have to do with today? Why
right.
does it have to be brought up? So they've always done that, where they try to criminalize the victim so that they can justify the action, and there's no accountability. That has
but does that pressure?
Mention.
But no, but wait a minute. But it kind of goes on the same line, because my whole thing is, does that pressure, that coercion, does it kind of force, you do think in some cases, does it force people to kind of go that route of snitching? Because, you know, people only really snitch either A, because they're trying
to
gain something from it. Yeah, to either gain something, like saving they behind, or they just got it in for somebody. Or there's money involved.
Yeah, I think in his case it was, you know, they probably fed him a line like, she's already gone. We have you on charges of attempted murder of a police officer. And if you sign over something saying that, you know, she may have been involved in something, we'll be willing to let that slide. I would think that's
right.
how they would approach them. Because other than that, it doesn't make any sense. You know, why would he take a plea? He's done nothing wrong. He's protecting, was it standing your ground? And I don't know where they're from, but if it's a stand your ground state, they entered his house, you know, and he had every right to protect himself. He's licensed, he's carrying, he fired. I'm assuming it's not a stand your ground, and the angle was that you attempted to kill a police officer.
What you think, Lady T?
We've also heard of cases in the same sense. I agree with Ms. Trevi on this, too. But we also heard of cases in the sense where one of his family members may have done something. So they'll bring it down on, you know, him to sign this. Get your family member off. You get what I'm saying? You've heard
yeah.
many crooked things like this, where they target family members who might be, you know, having some sort of charge held on them as well. So I don't really know with this case. It's not clear. Why haven't the cops been arrested? It's more than 150 days now, and we're still talking about arrest the cops. They still didn't arrest them, still didn't do charges. What is the missing link in this? There's something
well,
else
ain't
going
nobody
on
their side snitching. What you think?
Yeah,
right.
This is what I'm saying.
Right. Yeah, it's yeah, that's basically what it is. I feel it's a cover-up. Because you're hearing all these different, you know, you're hearing different type of things. Because I read something maybe a couple of months back that they were saying that she was in, she might have been involved with one of the officers, and you know, they try to make it like a love triangle thing. It's just sad that there's so many things going on. Yeah, I heard that. I read it somewhere, and I'm just like, are y'all fucking kidding me? Like, yo, arrest, like, do something. This girl got killed for nothing. And it's like, once again, you wonder why, and I hate to just say, you know, because unfortunately they making it a cliche now, but like I said, this is why we're saying Black Lives Matter, because y'all act like that girl's life didn't matter. It's just like, well, they're, you know, that's criminal, you know, criminal thing, and, you know, that's the black people, you know, that's what they're about. No. That young lady has things going on with her that had nothing like. We don't know her personal life, but I doubt it, highly, highly doubt it, that girl was involved with any officer. I doubt that she was involved with any type of drug thing or anything like that.
I doubt that. It's a cover-up. They are covering their asses so they do not get the blame for anything that happened. They want to make this justify. Oh, and it's, you know, like I said, I hope her boyfriend or the, you know, the young man, I hope he really doesn't fall for that. But you know what? Unfortunately, you know, I have a feeling he's going to probably try to, you know, he's going to fall for it because he's like,
no. They're trying to disavow it now. They're trying to say like it never happened. Even though I think he was trying to bring to light that this is what they tried to do. And, you know, they're saying, it never happened. Like, we, you know, the paperwork was drafted, but they never gave it to him. But the social thing is, the paperwork was drafted. And before K-Dog steps in, the thing I wanted to say real quick was, and the reason why I brought it up, because it's interesting how, you know, you want other people to talk. You want people to do the right thing and say the right thing. You go in these neighborhoods, and just like with the one-year-old, you go into the neighborhoods and say, listen, I know somebody saw something. Talk to us. But the thing is, how can we talk to you if you don't even follow suit? How could you expect us to, you know what I'm saying? How could you expect the hood to turn on the hood when you cops don't even turn on each other?
Right.
When you know you got other cops doing the wrong thing. See, this is why I brought it up. You know what I'm saying? And it's not an attack on them. But once again, how could the streets, how could the hood trust you or these communities trust you to do the right thing when you're not showing a good example? Because you got cops out there constantly doing things and no one is saying anything. So don't expect other people to say something if you're not saying anything.
All right.
But the thing is, the cops.
Okay. What's up?
You know, with that case of Breonna Taylor, I mean, that case is like, it's a really upsetting case. I mean, like, I'll say it plainly. Those four murderers are still walking around, and they're trying to cover up their crime of the fact that they murdered a woman, a young woman who had a whole life ahead of her. They murdered her, and now they're trying to do this to cover it up. They're trying to make themselves look good, and that's pitiful. They always do that. They're always doing that. They're always trying to bring up a criminal record of a family member, a criminal record, or the person. They try to dirty the person's character who they killed. That makes no sense,
course,
and that's
because
the
if
problem.
They're black. Because if they're black, everybody believes that a black person, a lot of people believe black people are bad. There's like
exactly.
People that
they
are trying
think
to justify
all black people have criminal records, and that's that.
Yeah. Well, just like people are trying to justify what this kid did. I mean, he murdered two people, and they're trying to justify it. What's crazy is he shot three white people. So, you know, that's why it's kind of a touchy situation. But when it comes down to us, you know, we're automatically dirty, filthy, and, you know, we're guilty. And once again, like I said, it's not taking a shot, but sometimes you got to lead by example. And if you're not going to turn in your own, if you're going to sit quiet, you sit back and quietly watch people who took an oath to uphold the law to not uphold the law and do the right thing, then don't expect these communities and some people to help you in certain situations.
They're not.
Don't expect them to come to you.
I have a question for you, Brother B, with what you just said right there. You also have crooked cops in the communities that people are very familiar with in certain communities, right? So when we're talking about snitching too, people don't speak on what those cops do. Yeah, what I'm saying, they just let them. Yeah, they're afraid. So it could be the same thing when people are seeing, okay, this person got shot. They might know this guy's a shooter in the neighborhood. He could come back and find out you told on him. So before he gets arrested, he might try to knock you out. That's another reason why people don't say something or somebody in your family that they may know.
Well, this is true.
Yep.
And it's sad because you shouldn't even have to live your life like that. But this is the world that we're living in now. Like, there is really no code anymore. And that's the problem. Like, there's really no code. There's no respect. There's no type of loyalty. There's, even though it's the street, years ago there was a dignity to it a little bit. There was an integrity. You know what I'm saying? Like, you couldn't do something to somebody's mom. Like, if cats knew, like, wait a minute. but you robbed such and such mom. Oh, nah, we got to go get them. You know what I'm saying?
Yep, exactly.
But there was no need.
Yep.
There was no need for snitching because this cat in the neighborhood was going to whip your ass because they protected the neighborhood. They protected the community. You know what I'm saying? Now it's just like every man for themselves, every woman for themselves. Nobody cares. You know, and that's a problem. But Miss Terry, you were going to say something?
Well, I was going to say how we have this code. I think, as you were saying, the way that the code is interpreted has changed. Snitching used to mean something different than it is today. Today, it's if you report, you're a snitch. That's not the same thing. But what we've done is we've let the criminals walk the streets, and we have our kids locked up in cages, i.e., their apartments, their houses. They can't go out. They can't play ball. They can't go to a barbecue. They can't stand in front of the store anymore. There's just so much they can't do anymore just because we are afraid of snitching, a.k.a. protecting our community by getting those elements off the streets. And I'm watching the news here, and it's like it's a free-for-all. Not any particular area, because I know they like to target certain areas, black areas. But you can see these kids, and they're kids. They're like maybe 16 to 21. They're playing cowboys and Indians in the middle of the street in the middle of the day. Remember when they used to have to sneak out at nighttime and do it? They don't even care anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But yet, you can see your son clearly on TV.
Mm-hmm.
Shooting up all over the neighborhood and stuff. Don't care who's there, but nobody recognizes.
Exactly. Nobody says anything, and that's the sad part about it. Like, that's my man. I ain't snitching on him. I'm like, yo, your man just shot up the neighborhood. Somebody died. What are you doing, man? Why ain't snitching?
Like,
I'm like,
listen, there's a difference between reporting and snitching.
Exactly.
You know, me and Big Red go rob. You know, the Edmonds Bake Shop. You know what I'm saying? And I tell him, like, yo, Big Red was the one. Big Red took all the chocolate donuts. It wasn't me. Like, I just, you know what I'm saying? I just opened the door for her, and she just went in there and went cold ham. So that's the, even though we were both, you know, doing it, even though we both left there with boxes, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
I'm the one that's just telling on Red. That's snitching. But when something happens like that 1-year-old, or, you know what I'm saying, somebody, grandma gets something, somebody's daughter or a kid, something happens, now you have a duty to report because that's your community.
Mm-hmm.
That's your, you know what I'm saying, that's your neighborhood. That's where you live.
But,
and you need
but
to
you
eliminate the threat that's in your
But you know where, not to cut you off, Brother B, you know where what the problem is, like you said. People can't distinguish those two. And you know why? And I'm gonna tell you one reason why that has become like a thin line. I'm gonna say one word, gentrification.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Gentrification.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna say one word, gentrification. That is the reason why it has become a thin line with that now. Because like I said, I worked for 311 at one time, and guess what? Those people, gentrified people, would call about things that people have been doing in that neighborhood for years. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And all this person standing on the corner and this, that, and, okay, what are they doing? Are they doing, you know, are they, you know, dealing drugs? Did you see any drug transactions? Oh, no, they're just standing there. And when I walk back, man, you're just reporting at me because they're just standing there. You can't keep just reporting people, you know, or saying things, or I ain't going to say snitching, but you're reporting something that they're not doing anything. Now, if they're doing something, then that's different.
Then if you're that scared, don't enter the community. Don't come to the community to live there if you're that scared.
No, but
exactly.
You know what that is. They don't want to live. Remember, Manhattan is too expensive for them now. So now they got to come in the Brooklyn neighborhood and this neighborhood. And, that, you know, now they come into these neighborhoods because it's quote-unquote cheaper. But you're going to have to deal with people that's been living in them neighborhoods for almost 25, 30 years, and they're still there because that's their neighborhood.
Mm-hmm. And now you want to sit up there and say something because they're standing on the corner, or they're doing this, or the kids are running, you know, or, you know, somebody's doing something, or, the, you know, like the crowd.
They're complaining
it,
about
different.
Things that they're not used to, in other words. They're not used
absolutely.
To seeing, in other words.
Absolutely.
Yeah, they're not used to seeing somebody else.
Right. So that's where the thin line comes in,
mm-hmm.
at, because then, you know, like I said, you're just reporting things, and then you can get somebody in a situation, just like you said, the Karens, you get somebody in a situation just because you don't like what's going on in that neighborhood, or because they're having a block party. Oh, they have a block party. They do that block party every year, and all of a sudden, because your baby can't sleep, oh, it's disturbing you. Sir, listen, put some earphones in that baby. I don't know what you're going to do. Like, that's what I'm saying.
When they're throwing where you got to turn down the music at a certain time, so they just need to wait it out. They
right.
just need to wait
yeah,
for the time to pass.
And even
so
when they do that,
down.
Even
after
when they do that, but even when they do that, it's like, come on.
It's a mixed blessing because I had my house, I bought it 10 years ago, and at first when I moved in, I was like, man, my neighbors are nosy as hell. Like, they everything. You know, I step outside, they got to come outside. But I will tell you, I had somebody try to break into my house, and the first person who was able to give me details was my neighbor. He was like, oh, yeah, you knew that? He was like, a half an hour later, he came over here. Da-da-da-da. He told me exactly who tried to come in and everything.
Wow.
So sometimes, nah. you know, you're like, you know, sometimes you're like, oh, you know, he always in the business and stuff. But I know mm-hmm. if anything go down, I'm going right across the street and be like, so what happened? Because I know you know.
Right.
Now, I just want to say something with what Ms. Sherry just said. With people witnessing, you know, the crime and stuff like that, you also have to remember that they're scared to go testify when this person goes
exactly.
to court. That's another thing that keeps, quote-unquote, snitches back. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So you have to physically
yeah.
go there and testify. They see in your face all through the court. You understand what I'm saying? If your family's coming, they
yeah.
recognize and they could send their people to you when this is done.
Right, yeah.
So a lot
well,
of people
yeah.
fear
that.
A lot of people fear that.
I was going to say, you
but
know, aren't... that reminds me, and I assume we're all around the same age, like in the 40s and 50s, whatever have you. But
you
I'm
are.
Saying,
you are. Not me. You are. You are.
Hey, I look good for my age.
Whatever. That's
I was going to say, I think it was in the 90s, they had Robert Townsend made that movie, Meteor Man. I don't
yeah,
know if
yeah.
you ever saw that.
Yeah.
I
yeah.
remember that.
Man, that takes me back.
That movie.
You know how the whole town was? Is that not how the
yeah.
black community is?
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
exactly.
They saw everything. They were scared. The people, a couple of people running the whole show, they all scared in the corner, scared to stand up for themselves. Wouldn't somebody stand up for them when they won't stand up for themselves?
Mm-hmm.
When I see stuff like that,
yeah,
I always think
movie.
About that.
Hmm? Well, I mean, I mean, you know, it's crazy how it's just this type of dynamic now where it seemed like there's a somewhat of a lawlessness. And, you know, as much as we've been seeing, you know, a decline, because I was actually looking at something the other day where it was saying overall, like over the past couple of years, like it may seem like there's a spike in crime now, but crime has actually been going down. But with that
right.
being
yes.
said, when it comes down to the whole snitching thing, I mean, like you said, Lady T, some of these people have to go to court and testify and see police, I believe, aren't they supposed to, like, kind of protect people or try to do their best?
Exactly.
To be like, well, hey, you know, we're going to shield you from this or, you know, you can come
no.
in here. We'll make sure nobody knows what's going on. Because it's supposed to be some
nope.
kind of an anonymous.
No, it doesn't work like that. Mm-mm. Even when you're anonymous, you're not anonymous. Don't work like that. Don't work like that when you
I
go
was,
to the court. And that's where some mm-hmm. people had got misled. Remember when they would say, oh, $10,000 reward. You don't get the reward until after you testify.
And that's
mm-hmm.
the trick. That's the trick
yeah.
of the trade.
Yeah.
So people
yeah.
don't realize that. You have to be knowledgeable when you're going to testify, and a lot of people aren't. And some people that finally caught on through experience possibly. You get what I'm saying? So
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It is a double-edged sword, so I don't know.
I have I was talking to somebody about this earlier. I have a friend that's a black cop, a male, And I stopped and I was talking to him, and I was remembering how one time, this is probably like 4 or 5 years ago, I had to go to the precinct, and I had my son with me. And you know how when you walk in the precinct, they have the desk right up front. We were sitting there, and there was a kid that had walked in, and he was saying that he had gotten jumped and robbed. And they were asking him questions. They were asking him questions about who did it and whatever have you. I'm behind him, and I'm recognizing the names that he's saying. They didn't bring him to no room. They didn't question him. They made him give his information, his name and everything right there. And meanwhile, I'm behind him. I know exactly who he's talking about. The precinct is two towns away, but I happen to know the kids that were involved. And I was thinking, you know, this also might be a reason why people don't want to come, you know, forward. He doesn't know me. I could have went back and been like, Stone, you know, I heard Stone came in there talking about your kid. Yes, he did. He filed a report. He's down there now. They don't handle their business well. But I think it's up to us as parents to, like I said, I think the way that we've educated or the way that our younger generation think of the word snitch has to be reprogrammed. It has to. They have to realize that it's not seen as how you would do Takashi. You know, it's not that situation. It's you're reporting. You're helping your community out. When you see a crime, you are a crime stopper.
Well, first of all, listen, Scott's 6'9" is a snitch. Like, I don't care what anybody says, he's a snitch. So, like,
yeah,
his situation is totally,
he's a snitch.
That's straight rap.
So
yeah, that's it. But, I mean, I get it.
He tried to infiltrate.
He tried to save himself from his situation. So, rat everybody out, save myself. That's what he did. That's
you can't. My thing is, how could you save yourself when you're doing the dirt?
Exactly. And that's what I was saying.
They do it
earlier.
All the time. You have, let's say, shooters that had accomplices, and then they'll pin it. You see them pin it on them, and that person's getting all the time, and this person's getting off.
And you,
we've
and
seen
you
it,
know the truth is
we've seen it time and time again because even in the world of the mob, even in the mobster world, we've seen that happen many times. Like they went around
and
one person snitched, and everybody else gets in jail, and they have to go into protective custody. They have to change their name, their race.
The mob.
My thing is, we shouldn't even be upset with him as a community, because at the end of the day, he snitched, and our community is safer. I mean, right or wrong, what he got out of it is his business. I'm just saying in general, our snitches, the ones that go in there, they do the crime, and then they get off. They are also still resolving the problems in our community. Now, maybe they didn't get him, but they got five of the other ones, and that's five less problems you have. So, you know, I don't agree with it. I don't think that they should be making pleas and letting people off because they told somebody else. At
that's
the end of the day, by
the
end,
yeah, don't reward them. Don't reward
them. Better.
Exactly.
Yeah. Like if
but
you,
is it a reward for them, or is it a reward for the justice system with the plea deals?
Both.
You get what I'm saying? Or is it a reward for the cops with the plea deals? When they make these plea deals, who's rewarded? The justice system is really rewarded.
Mm-hmm. But the community benefits also.
He's free. But this dude is free. And
but he's free to
you know,
walk
there are other people going to jail.
And be a target.
He's free to walk around the community and be a target. Well, actually, what I believe personally, I he's still continuing on with his infiltration. And my thing is, anybody that messes with him is a fool. Because he's going to split. Like, if you told him I had the vanilla pudding, he's going to go tell somebody that you had vanilla pudding that night and it didn't belong to you. So he's going to tell that you took somebody else's pudding. You see what I'm saying? Like, he's still in the same element. Like, he's there. He's he's the mole. You know what I'm saying? It's like
it
lets you go like that.
Mm-hmm.
And my thing to what Ms. Cherry was saying before about the kid going to the precinct and reporting it, what sounded sad was when you said they didn't take him into the room, they didn't do this, they didn't take him serious. And I think that's another reason why a lot of people just don't say anything, because some of these cops have this this blasé attitude when you're telling them something.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, yo, listen, either you can take care of it or I can take care of it. And when I take care of it, you're going to tell me I'm wrong. But you're not listening.
And see, this is that breakdown in communication, or it's that ego that Lady T was talking about, or it's that arrogance of the badge. You know what I'm saying? And once again, it's not to dump on them per se, but once again, lead by example. If you want somebody to say something or do something, why don't you do it too? Why don't you take some of these people, you know, out here seriously when they come to you with issues and they're telling you stuff? This is why I do believe that de Blasio and I believe Cuomo want to divert funds from NYPD to maybe have other people come in and take care of stuff that they're really not equipped to do, like counseling or like going into communities and talking to people and stuff like that, because obviously they just want to make quotas. They want to knock heads and arrest people instead of just going in there and talking. Because I remember, once again, back in the days, because we're all, you know, well, y'all are from a certain era, not me, but anyway, we're all from a certain era where the cops knew your parents. Like, when I was coming up in the story of projects, yo, the cops, listen, one told saw me some way, said, yo, you know I know your mother. You know I be seeing her going to the bus. Yo, don't let me catch you doing so, because I'm going to tell her. And, yo, I was beating out. All of us was out, but those were cops. The mentality was different. And I met, when I used to do armored truck, I met a couple of retired cops. And, you know, they told me, they said, yo, these new cats are no good. These new cops that they're hiring, that's why they put the cutoff, I think, at 35 or a certain age. Like, they don't want you after a certain age because they can't program you. They can't get you to go out there and do, you know, they feel that they can't put in you what they want to put in you after a certain age. So he's like, but these newfangled cops, they're not going out there for the community. They're just going out there to either get a paycheck or somebody forced, or their father or mother was a cop, or they're just going out there to kick somebody's ass.
Yeah.
They're not really going out there to help the people.
They're not even, you have to understand it, not in our community, but in other communities, to be a cop, to be a firefighter, to be an EMT, those are esteemed positions. You know, they're looked upon as being heroes in their community. So they push them. And then you have the generational thing. And our community, our kids are not looking forward to being a cop. They don't want to be, you know, a fireman. You know, as they get to certain age, that's not their goal. But ironically, I was talking to my friend today, which I told you is a black police officer, and I was like, see, the problem is we don't have enough minority police officers so we can police our own. And he said, he deals with a lot of the recruiting and stuff like that. He said, we had a test here in Suffolk County, and he said there were 79 black officers, females and males. They all passed the exam with a 95 or higher. So that meant that they should have been in the top recruitment to be, you know, officers. He said somehow all but got eliminated before the hiring process. So it's not that they're not going for the job. It's not that they're not achieving the grades to get the job, but somehow between the time that they achieve it and the hiring, they're gone.
Interesting.
Wow.
Very interesting.
I mean, listen, you know, sometimes with the hiring process, listen, with my job, it took me 10 months. It took me 10 months. 10 months from when I started the paperwork to when, you know, they was like, all right, you know, here, here's what you got to do. Here's your stuff. You know, get to work. 10 months. But within that 10 months, shit happens. You know what I'm saying? Either you can find another job, or you just get turned off in the situation. They have you. They try to basically set up so many hurdles and obstacles for you to have to go through. Oh, well, you know, your credit, or this is bad, or this is wrong. You got to fix this and this. And they'll find every reason to be like, you know, I'm sorry, but we can't accept you.
Mm-hmm.
Or you're probably going to be like, you know what? They get discouraged, and they just step off. Because it's like, it's too much.
But like, that's what they want. Always, they want that discouragement.
Well, exactly. That's what they want. That's exactly what they want. And it's sad, but this is the reality of it. You know, the type of world that we're living in now where there's this, like, cops don't look good sentiment. I won't say anti-cop, but cops just don't look good in the eyes of a lot of people, except for those who are somewhat bigoted, to be honest with you. I mean, to me, it just seems like most of the people who support, you know, the wrong that some of these cops are doing are just bigoted. There's not a lot of bad cops out there, but you know what I'm saying? There's more good cops than bad.
Yeah.
But
well, they're bad
how
if they're not
you
correcting
the good
bad cops.
But then you know what's sad? That's what makes them bad. If you're good not
mm-hmm.
correcting the bad, then what was the purpose of you even taking the oath anyway? It wasn't just for the streets. It wasn't just for the people. It's your house, too. If you take an oath to protect people, if you're not protecting people from the people that you work with, then what's your purpose? What is your function?
Well, I was going to say, looking at the employees,
they'll call them that a rat, too. Is your same as her?
I was going to say, if you look at the Floyd case, there were at least four or five of them that just stood around and did nothing. So that's what made them bad. They didn't necessarily participate. They blocked people from coming in to assist, and then they didn't do anything to stop. And that's what we're finding a lot of. I'm on Long Island. A lot of it is, and I was speaking to him as a minority officer, I said, I know it has to be hard because Black people look at you suspect. The cops
mm-hmm.
look at you suspect. You know, you can't be on their side because if you're on their side, you're not on our side. And you look like us. So you're right in the middle. And you're getting kicked from both sides. And he was saying he don't feel that way. But I was like, yeah, it is. I said, because I feel better. I had a situation where the police got called to my house like 2 weeks ago. And it was explaining it to y'all because it's not a big thing. Yeah. I was having a shed built in my backyard. And so I had the contractors come out. They start digging my backyard up, and they found bones. They found remains.
Oh, boy.
So
Whoa. Oh, wow. Hey. I thought I knew you.
The contractor calls me, and he's like, look, ma'am, this is what we found. I don't know what you want to do with it. I'm like, call the cops. They came, and they started, you know, they were looking at it. They called the medical examiner, you know, to see if it was a human remain, which
that's
they found
crazy.
A spinal. You know, it was like a whole bunch of craziness going on and stuff. But my thing was, when they came to respond, it was two white officers came in. Now I'm looking at them like, look, go to the backyard where I show you. You're free to look over there and then get your information and you're free to go. I don't need you walking around my house. And, you know, like I felt more unfriendly towards them than I would if a Black officer had responded. I probably would have been like, oh, come on in here, honey. You want some Kool-Aid? Let me go get you some Kool-Aid while you look over there. Like, handle your business, get off my property. You know, and it's just, it's the atmosphere of, you know, living on Long Island. We don't necessarily, I don't have a problem with it. Like, honestly, when I call the police, I'm calling them for a reason. And I never think that they're coming over here to do me harm. But I'm not a young Black male. You know, our men in general, they have a different type of burden than a Black female does.
Yeah.
And we have that burden.
Mm-hmm.
Not as strong
exactly.
as them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, every time they call, they have to worry. Is this going to be confrontational? I told them I had a flat tire. Am I going to be able to make it home
right,
tonight? Or
absolutely.
Am I going to
have
to
So with that being said, great topic, Ms. Cherry. Thank you. And we got less than 60 seconds
definitely.
Left. Thank you, Big Red, Lady T, Ms. Cherry, K-Dog, for calling in.
Oh, yeah.
And parting gift to everyone out there listening, listen. Just do the right thing. You know, listen. When you see something, say something, because you never know. The something that you do see, that you see somebody else do, may come back to get you or somebody you love. So, you know, do the right thing.
Absolutely.
And
make
sure we educate our young people to let them know the difference. You know, you're not a snitch when you go and you report a crime.
Exactly.
Yeah, reporting and snitching, two totally different things.
Yep.
Right, Red. Stay out. Leave them Edmonds alone, Red. I got you. All right.
save me some. Everybody have a good night. Enjoy the rest of your week. Be safe.
Peace out. Be
all right. Later, guys.
And
peace out, guys.
Everyone. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday. Thank you, y'all.
Thank
you, y'all.
All right. Later, guys.
Later.
Good night.
Good night.